Let's go back to Kings training camp. Let's hear from Mike Brown. This is 11 minutes. I don't think we're going to listen to Mike Brown for 11 minutes. But let's at least get his thoughts on practice today, courtesy of James Hamm.
Well, Coach, how did the first day of official training camp go?
It was great. I thought there was a lot of energy. I felt guys were excited to be back and to be able to kind of hit somebody and try to go through our stuff live against other defenders instead of just what we faced in the summertime. So I thought it was a good morning.
Anything that surprised you about camp, player?
No. I mean, the guys all looked really good coming in. And obviously, we can all get in a little bit better shape. But guys work hard this summer, and we were around them quite a bit. So no surprises, really.
Mike, we didn't talk to you about this a lot yesterday, but that shooting guard position, what are you going to do early on, especially with Kevin out? And do you think that Keon has a shot to be the starter day one?
Right now, Keon has a shot, but, it's mainly because Kevin is out. And as time goes on, it'll work itself out. So I'm not necessarily concerned about it. Keon is there right now. But that for sure can change.
With those, when you look at the way Keon defends, the steps Fox took and Keegan took last year, I guess I'm asking about the value in having three pretty high level perimeter defenders, and if you would share that view that those guys are kind of in that category now.
You said
Keegan, Fox, Keon. Would you say those are three pretty high level perimeter defenders?
Yeah, for sure. And we put a lot of pressure on Fox, especially at the beginning of games, and that's where a guy like Keon can step in, and that's where he's going to have a chance to step in. And you have a guy like that who, in my opinion, for as young as he is, navigates the pick and roll game extremely well. He's longer than what you think, a little bit more athletic than what you think, a little quicker, and so on and so forth. And, so to start games at times, to have the luxury of Keon out there, you could put Keon on the opposing team guard that's going to have the most pick and rolls, the John Morant types in the league, and now you put Fox on another guy, and then you change the matchup as the game goes along, and so having that luxury is always a positive, and at the end of the day, depending on who our five guys are on the floor, Fox is probably going to have to now take that guy. And a couple of things, that guy got chased or beat up by Keon throughout part of the game, and now he's got Fox, who should be in the right mind space to still give us what we need offensively while taking it to another level defensively, which he's more than capable of. And then you got a guy like Keegan. Keegan is capable of taking the bigger perimeter plays. And so to have, the 1-2 punch with the ability to throw Fox in there in certain situations is definitely a positive, because all of them bring something to the table offensively, obviously.
What catches your...
We'll hit pause right there. That's Mike Brown. We'll hear more from Mike as the day progresses. Clear note out of that, Keon getting the shot at starting at two right now with the starting unit because Kevin Huerter is out. I don't know what it is, man. It's whether it's Mike Brown or it's Monty McNair at Summer League, I just hear them talk about Keon, and I do not hear them glow about him. And I'm not suggesting that he's not good. I'm not suggesting that they don't like him. I'm not suggesting anything like that. What I'm saying is I can't get a pulse for how they feel about this young man. Mm-hmm. It became clear pretty quickly the players loved him. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron in particular.
Yeah.
I can't figure out if Mike or Monty even like him.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's gone from it's cute, pal. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It was cute. He did a nice job, which I'm paraphrasing a bit, to what he said. Yeah, he Kevin's not here. Mm-hmm. So is it Kevin's job? Kevin's performance didn't put his job at risk at all last year.
I'm not sure if they're thinking Kevin not being,
I know who he didn't say to.
Yeah, I think that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think sixth man of the year.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Might be in the cards for Malik Monk coming up. But yeah, I think Keon should be starting, especially if you're not going to start Malik Monk. I think Keon should be starting. I think Kevin Herter should be a guy that you start to look at as someone that comes off the bench in a forward role. It seems very simple. It seems like, and you're thin at that three spot. So you're almost, sorry for the birds, but you're killing two birds with one stone. You're adding depth to the three by having Kevin Herter come off the bench as a small forward potentially. And you're filling that two-guard spot with a more defensive-minded type player.
I'm glad you brought that up. You brought up birds again. We know how much you hate birds.
I don't hate birds. No,
you're just trying to kill them with stones, two of them with one. But now I'm thinking more like I'm putting things together right now. It was Domas brought up the pace, the year one pace. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that fit Kevin better than Keon?
I think Keon can do whatever is needed with the pace.
Okay.
I think he can. He's a better defender.
Kevin was out of shape 1 year. I think it was last year. Because I think he even acknowledged I did not come into camp in the condition. Not shape is the wrong term sometimes. Right. He wasn't in the condition he should have been to play the way that Mike wants.
One of the things about it, too, though, is I could easily pull it up, but I'm not sitting here necessarily saying that Keon Ellis is the shooter that Kevin Herter is. But I'm listening to these players, and you mentioned De'Aaron specifically. They're all like, no, he can shoot. Mm. Like, Keon can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like that from beyond the arc. Mm-hmm. And he ended up shooting 42% from three this past season.
Tell the story, Doc.
41% this past season. He only took three a game.
Okay.
So there's that. But once again,
less than one the year before.
Yeah. Once again, though, I'm listening to the players. And I remember specifically De'Aaron saying a number of different times. We see him in practice all the time. You know, kick it out to him, automatic. So if you're getting that level of shooting in a catch and shoot situation from Keon Ellis and you're getting his defense, I'm not sure why you would start Kevin Herter over Keon Ellis. Not really sure why. I haven't found with somebody can get in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House. You can call in 916-909-1320 and give me a good, compelling reason why you would start Kevin Herter over Keon Ellis.
What if we went hypothetical? I think the first one everyone would say is Kevin's size. I think that's the first thing everyone would
right.
say. Or say, not everyone. It's the first thing someone would say.
Right.
Kevin Herter's size.
I would say it doesn't really matter. Keon is a better defender at that position than Kevin Herter. We've seen the sample size of the two. And, yeah, Keon is probably a little shorter. He's a way better defender at that position. So, like, that's – and I, maybe I'm assuming, but when you talk about the size, that would be the reason why, right? Like, the defense, not offense.
It'd be it wouldn't be on offense, obviously.
And Keon's a better defender.
Yeah, there's no question about that. What if I said – and I think this is really the only fair way to do the question. What if you were closer to Kevin Herter year one than year two? And it doesn't have to be, you know, bar for bar, same statistics. Just give me closer, because he had his best year as a professional with the Sacramento Kings. He also had his worst year as a professional with the Sacramento Kings. So let's draw a little something, you know, more towards the middle, and you get that Kevin versus the one we got last year.
It makes me think a little bit more. Okay. Makes it a tougher decision for sure, because Kevin was really good.
And it's tough, though, because the last thing we saw was not good.
Right. And Kevin was really good in that first year. And it was more so that first half. Second half got a little rocky here and there. But I like
the three-point contest ruined him. That's what the internet says.
Damn three-point contest. I, I think there's a absolutely a role for Kevin Huerter. I think it might be a little bit better coming off the bench this year than him starting. I haven't seen it as of late. I haven't seen anything from him that would make me start him over Keon Ellis. Keon can shoot the ball. He's actually crafty when it comes to being able to create his own shot, like off of dribble handoffs and stuff like that. A little more crafty than people give him credit for. Catch and shoot. He can hit the three, like I said. And he's a better defender.
Let's go back. Let's hear some more from Mike Brown today following the first Sacramento Kings practice at training camp.
Your eye in these first few days?
You know, when you try to look to see who's in great shape. You try to look to see who can pick up things easily, offensively and defensively. And you try to see who's going to try to establish himself as a leader. You know, because sometimes your best players may not always be your leaders. And so you look to see who's going to step up and be vocal, not just, you know, during, we want everybody to be vocal when we're on the floor, but, you know, step up and say something before practice, after practice, when you bring it in, when things aren't going well, you know, who's going to, hey, let's pick it up, let's play harder, let's do this, let's do that. So you look for, you start to look to see whose voice is going to resonate as the strongest in the group, too.
Coach, so is it safe to say that Malik is going to be staying in that six-man spot on D1?
He is there right now. And I said this before, you know, I've been fortunate, blessed, lucky, however you want to call it, to coach two of the best six men out there, and Manu Ginobili and Andre Iguodala. And they won 8 championships between the two of them. 7 of them were won as six men. And, you know, being around 2 Hall of Fame coaches and Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich, to be able to have the luxury of having that pop come off the bench is something that every team dreams of, and we're fortunate to be able to have that luxury. And at the end of the day, you know, a lot of times, just in life, it's not about who starts stuff and who finishes stuff. So that'd be a telltale sign, in my opinion. More of a telltale sign, in my opinion.
All right. Well,
let this ride. Chirping at you during practice?
100%. It's probably the one thing that I did miss is him making sure that I'm on my P's and Q's. We all got to be held accountable. He definitely will help hold me accountable, for sure.
I think we might have been over this, but what does P's and Q's mean?
We haven't been over it. I don't know.
We'll just assume it's just like minding your manners, I think, or something like that.
But it's got to stand for something.
It does,
right?
But I've never found that out.
Yeah, well, today's as good a day
what
as any.
Does this? This
going to be something
dicey.
Dumb too? It's like, why do we even look for this? We should have just been ignorant about it.
What does P's and Q's mean?
Be some 1870s old school ass thing or something.
Mind your manners. No, I understand. But the P's and Q's have to stand for something, don't they? Did somebody just pick 2 letters?
See, they're saying pints. I'm not even. The chat's saying.
Don't read the chat. See? Do not read the chat.
See, I can't help it.
So the P's and Q's, they literally stand for nothing.
Mind your P's and Q's. Stay on my P's and Q's.
So, it has to mean something. It can't just be meaningless.
When revising, the use of P's and Q's to mean, okay, for God's sakes, his A's and B's and P's and Q's. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. Like, so what, back in the 19th century, they just started saying stuff and everybody went along with it?
Well, let's start here in 2024. Hey, everybody, stay on your W's and V's.
Well, way. Careful.
Relax, pal. Relax.
Careful. You got to pick
It's a family show, okay?
You got to pick your letters a little bit more strategically.
Stay on your J's and K's.
Well, there you go. This is ridiculous. It literally means nothing. Some jackass in the 19th century just made it up, and Mike Brown's repeating it years later.
Everything pre-1970 is kind of whack for being a kid in a buck.
Damn, 1970. Damn.
1930s trash, 1920s trash.
I found a thread. Why do people say stay on your P's and Q's? There's literally not a single person can not a single person can provide like the actual meaning of this. They just say it means to be careful. Yeah, based on what? Who decided this?
It's like a
this is ridiculous.
It's like an age old question that I had that I won't even bring up on air. I'll bring up off the air.
Well, we're already here.
It's a slippery slope. it's a slippery
what
slope.
What do P's and Q's?
I found it.
Oh.
Yeah, so the sounds of P and Q are like similar to like please and thank you, it says, or whatever. It's like P's and Q's, like thank yous or whatever. P's, please. That's what Google says. That's the closest I could find.
That makes
P's, please, Q's, yes. Thank yous.
Mind your P's and
the Q's.
Your pleases and thank yous, I guess. It's manners. It doesn't make sense, but yeah.
Thank yous.
All right.
No, it's starting to add up.
Starting thank add up you. Thank you, Gold County Slot Car Racing Association, for helping us with that.
Thank you.
P's and Q's.
Well, we figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we had a good day. Unfortunately, we have 2 hours of show left, so it's not like we can go home on a walk-off.
Well,
maybe we get Complex and Kim in here for the last 2 hours.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Well, I guess, okay, the thing I was going to ask, we'll talk about it during the break. During the break, for sure. I don't know. Maybe it'll spill over. What makes a curse word?
I thought it was always cuss, too.
And yeah. Cuss, curse, whatever. What makes...
Well, flick, flip. Who knows?
Yeah. Tomato, tomato. What makes the S word different than pint?
I don't know. Okay. We'll be back. How
lost
did
it.
Cuss words get invented? All right. We're back. We're going to figure this out here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Did some reading on bad words during the commercial break, and it's fascinating.
Okay.
The FCC can't find us, by the way, for this, because we're teaching a lesson.
Well, we are. One, apparently Gadzooks used to be...
Well, I might have dumped that.
Yeah, Gadzooks used to be a bad word. And
you do it, who's the Gadzook of the week?
Well, I think what's fascinating is it appears... Gadzooks is no longer a bad word.
So how did it get eliminated?
That's what I mean. Not only do bad words get eliminated, the spelling changes. Mm. The spelling of the most commonly used F word has changed over time. The spelling of the most commonly used S word has changed over time. That word was meant to describe an obnoxious person. I think it's still used. That was in 1508. Someone created that word. And I just am just completely flustered by the fact that at one point in history, people, I guess we still do it today. We just create words and people use them.
What was the last word we created that you can think of? I can't think of it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe cap.
But cap was already a word. The meaning of the word changed.
Very true.
Isn't ain't a word now? Like, that was always not a word and then eventually became one?
What?
Ain't.
Yeah, you weren't supposed... That was bad grammar.
Yeah.
All these rappers are saying it. Just put it in the dictionary.
John Paul, that's a good point. We
Vazorp. Well, Vazorp. Well, Vazorp is not... It's an acronym. Vazorp is an acronym. Yeah, I don't know. This words are fascinating.
Sal, the West Coast, we did create hella.
Sacramento, stand up. Let's go. It's what we do. It's what we do.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Hey, easy, pal. Easy.
The Miami Dolphins are the Gadzooks of the week.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen over there, man.
They used to spell the most commonly used S word, S. C-I-T-E. And then I guess someone was like, that's dumb. Let's
so much better way it's spelled now.
Jesse's on to something. They
I'm telling you, like pre-1970 is pretty trash, bro.
No, we don't have to say 1970s.
Settle down. 1970.
I said pre, everything before that.
Well, 1960
that's fine. Pre-1960s then.
Naked 1900s.
Well,
I don't know, bro. We're in the Great Depression.
I don't know. I don't know what was popping off in 1905 that we need to talk about.
What, you a big Jim Thorpe guy?
Nothing really.
You big Jim Thorpe?
We already acknowledged Babe Ruth was pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. We could probably go to the, like, 50s. Go somewhere around the 50s or so and keep it moving.
When did the Jackson 5 start?
Well, Michael, I think, was... Well, I don't know.
Jim, I don't know when the 60s, early 60s. Because I think he's around the same age as my mom. So maybe it was late 60s.
Michael Jackson was born in 1958.
1964, so, the Jackson 5 started.
Okay. So the 64.
So everything before 64 is trash.
I had a pretty good time range right there.
Everything before 1964 sucks. All right. That's fine. That's fine.
get mad at somebody. Come on. Gadzooks!
Well, imagine George Washington working gadzooks in his State of the Union address.
I'm sick and tired of all this gadzooks around here.
Talking about the British.
There were some other ones. I closed the tab. There were some other interesting bad words.
But the original point, though, is even when they the original S word, like, they just start saying that. There's no real meaning behind it. That's like, like I said, if I just decided pint was a curse word, like, pint. Pint you.
Pint actually sounds like a bad word.
Pint you.
I learned cussing comes from cursing, too. It's just a different form of the word, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
I don't know which one is the right one. I don't know.
So I guess cursing would be the right one. That was first.
You know what the most used cuss word was? Or curse word, depending on whatever. It's fascinating. It was damn.
Mm.
I bet damn was crazy back then.
I feel like damn was a bad word in my lifetime. Yeah. And then it just stopped being.
Yeah, I could.
And I feel like the S word is like, we're right on the cusp of that not being a bad word anymore.
What the F word is now, I feel like, is what damn was probably back in like 1870 because of the religious tie-ins and all that stuff.
Damn.
Nicolas Cage has a show on Netflix called The History of Swear Words where these things are discussed.
These are questions that I've had for decades now. I might have to watch that.
Well, Nicolas Cage can answer them for you. Because
I was always trying to figure out why what I'm saying I shouldn't be saying. Why? Why? Just explain it to me. I'll go with what you guys are saying. I won't say it. I'm not going to just start belting them out, but I want to know why.
Nicolas Cage has been married 5 times.
Damn.
Nicolas Cage is the worst actor on the planet, right? Like, he's awful. Like, he's just terrible.
There's got to be a worse action.
He's not the worst movies. Like, he's got good movies.
I didn't say he has the worst movies. I said he's the worst actor.
Vin Diesel's pretty bad.
Vin Diesel stinks.
All right.
I don't got friends. Right. I got family. All right, bro.
That's fair.
What are you doing back here?
Sir, what? What?
What?
That's what voice he, was
that?
What? It's Vin Diesel.
What the hell was that?
Let's say, what are you doing back here?
I need you to stop repeating it. That's terrible. Oh, God, that's awful. You gotta workshop that one a little bit.
You guys have seen Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
No, I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, he's the tree in that. Dude gets paid all kinds of money just for one line.
Vin Diesel is?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Yeah, Vin Diesel, though, he's worse than Nicolas Cage.
And then apparently Vin Diesel isn't that tall. Like, they you know, do all the camera tricks. He looks like, you know, tall guy or whatever the case may be, but I guess they do a lot of camera tricks.
Hmm. I mean, he's not even an actor, is he? He's got, like, the Fast and the Furious franchise, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
like, I know he did. What he did something. Did he do the kids movie?
He did. I can't remember what it's called, though. I think it's Pacifier. Yeah. And that's the same thing. It's just Fast and the Furious watching kids, though.
This get Mitch in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Damon.
What's up,
hey,
Mitch? Sound like you had a party, man.
Sound like I had what?
You had a party.
Oh, no, I was just entering the house, and the voices came out, so I got to shoot back into the garage, you know what I'm saying, you know?
Oh, okay.
I'm not the king of my castle. I'm not the king of my castle like you, Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd live alone, so that's fine.
Mitch, you said something about I blocked you. I didn't block you, man. What you talking about, Mitch?
Oh, is he mute? I don't understand this stuff with this tweet. How do you know if you're muted or not?
Well, you're not muted. You're not muted or blocked by me.
You don't know if you're muted, Mitch.
Yeah, you're neither one by me, Mitch. I see everything, but sometimes it's in the middle of the show. I can't always respond.
You're a very busy guy with kids and everything. You guys are very busy. You got your music after this. When you guys rest?
I don't know.
We don't.
What's good? Keep it. You're all right, and you look no worse for it. Avanti Adams. I probably messed up the name.
That's all right.
And I know three teams. It's very hard when you like so many teams. It's hard to keep up. But you should make a sit. Don't give in to these demands. Trade. You first. The Raiders give up so much for him. I know it was money to trade, assets, draft capital. I don't know. And then he demands to trade when things don't go your way. Sit his ass. Sit him down on the bench, right? And on Miami, they managed to just tank. They're going to be so many good quarterback teams. Man, that is the worst division in football now. Rodgers is a free agent next year. He's got to realize he's not winning anything. You couldn't be a guy that threw 60 yards.
There it is.
What did he say? Bo Jackson.
The fade. The fade. The fade is my favorite thing.
What was it? Bo Jackson. What did he have?
Bo Jackson in the AFC East.
Yeah. You didn't hear?
You ain't heard? That's the worst division in football. Aaron Rodgers and Bo Jackson, they'll figure it out together.
What I got from that is Mitch thinks you guys work too much. Don't trade Davante Adams.
No.
And tank if you're the Dolphins.
Tank if you're the Dolphins. What do the Dolphins do, man?
They're one of the worst teams in the league till Tua is back, and then you figure it out once he's back and what it's looking like at that point. Mike McDaniel is on fraud watch right now. He's bad, bro.
So let me ask you this. That's a good football team?
No.
Okay, so why is Mike McDaniel on fraud watch?
They should be a lot better than what
they should be a lot better.
That's what I'm asking.
Like they have you have weapons on offense. The defense, I think I saw a stat yesterday. They give up 30 points. 24 of those points were on drives where the Titans gained 27 yards or less. So the offense is just not even giving them any chance at all. Honestly, I feel like there's like a disconnect or something, I think, at this point. And Mike McDaniel is not making the offense any easier for the backup, I think. Like, they're running the same offense with Tyler Huntley, like, just guys who just aren't good enough right now. They got to switch it up.
Well, yesterday was so damning, too, because even if you want to say, you know, he doesn't have his quarterback and all this other stuff,
bro, they literally can't move the football.
The Titans found a way to get points on the board.
Once Mason Rudolph came in, I thought it was cooked.
They're awful. And they found a way to get points on the board. Like, that was tough yesterday.
Yeah, they're a bad football team. And right now it's looking like Tua makes them all, which is so much better. Mm. Mike McDaniel doesn't know what to call or whatever. And Tyreek is just on a milk carton right now. Like, guy, it seems like he's not even fully checked in or whatever. It seems like he's checked out at some points.
And what's
offense
Waddle
is bad. Waddle?
Yeah.
Just nothing. And then they're stacking the box against A-Chan because what are you not throwing the ball any good?
Damn.
They might not even beat the Patriots on Sunday.
Tyreek, 7 targets yesterday, 4 receptions for 23 yards. Waddle, 6 targets, 4 receptions, 36 yards. Huntley was 14 of 22 for 96 yards to go along with 8 carries for 40 yards.
Man.
That's tough.
I didn't see that coming either, though. I thought they were gonna. I didn't know if they were necessarily gonna be like back on track or whatever, but I thought they would be.
You thought they'd at least be able to move the ball, just some sort of an offense, and there's nothing at all.
184 total yards from Miami yesterday.
There were Travis Etienne fumble in week one away from being 0-4.
Oh, damn.
And that's with Tua.
This game had a combined about 428 yards total. That was about the first half total of the other game that was on last night. That is tough. Shout out to anybody who watched that one.
Yeah. Dolphins were good for a couple years. Now we're just back in the dumps. It's fine. It's the way it's supposed to be, I guess.
So what are you hoping for, Jesse? Like, cause I'm interested in
honestly, at this point, I'm kind of like, it might be time to, cause they gave Mike Medano a contract extension, but he's not doing anything to instill any type of confidence that he can change it up or whatever. It's honestly kind of at this point, if you want to rebuild, go ahead. You do it around Tua and all that. And I guess draft a quarterback to play behind him because he does get hurt again. But you kind of, this is pick if you can pick it up when Tua comes back, then maybe there's something worth salvaging, but it's not looking good right now.
Would you kind of blow it up if in a week or two if it's like this? Like, and what I mean that, like,
you give him to the end of the season.
Maybe you trade Tyreek.
At this point, I wouldn't be against it. If you miss the playoffs, then I'm fine with them blowing it up. I still like Tua as a quarterback. Like, he's got his injury history, but you paid him, so at this point, he's going to be around. Waddle's got a contract extension, so you have guys, but
they're 1-3 at this point. That's a tough look. We could do overreactions right now since we're here.
Yeah.
We'll stay in the AFC. Couple of wins. A big one on Sunday night. The Ravens. It's got to be an overreaction of the Ravens. They're the best team in the AFC.
I'm going to say it's not an overreaction.
Really?
When I look at the way the Texans have been playing, when I look at the way the Chiefs have been playing compared to the Ravens, and even the Bills. I mean, them beating, and not just beating the Bills, the way they
beat them up pretty good. Yeah. They beat them up good.
Kind of said something. I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I think they just might be the best team in the AFC.
You don't like the way Houston's playing?
I didn't like what
they
I
had
saw.
The bad loss. Good,
Minnesota's really good, though, too, on the road. They struggled a little bit more than I wanted them to against the Jags, but you get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if they played right now, I would pick the Ravens to win that game.
I don't think it's an overreaction either. Houston just has – they're good, but they haven't set themselves apart yet. Like, they were in it with the Colts week one. They got beat up by the Vikings. Like Casey said, they were hanging with the Jags and all that. They're good, but they haven't set themselves apart the way you'd probably like want them to and all that. The Bills, they got beat up by the Ravens. And then the Chiefs, they're missing Rashee Rice, looking like maybe the rest of the season. So at this point, you got to see what they do there at the wide receiver spot. Yeah. And the Ravens are just playing good football right now.
Yeah, that was an impressive win. That game against Baltimore was – that's a good dub for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's an overreaction for now.
Okay.
It's an overreaction for right now. There's a 4-0 team. There's a baffling 4-0 team in this conference. I still like Houston. Pittsburgh suffered their first loss. I don't think I'm going to put them in that category. And then I'll give respect to the team that they beat. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's still very good.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore got them in the way they did. Boy, that was interesting, but it's still a good team right there.
And Buffalo, the way they've played to start the season, they're allowed a loss.
Yeah.
You know, and still being looked at as one of the top teams in the conference.
Let's stay with these dramatic ideas of the best teams in conferences. This will tie into a conversation we had earlier. The 49ers are the best team in the NFC, period.
That's an overreaction. I don't see how you could put them over Minnesota and Detroit right now.
Oh, they're over Detroit.
I don't buy Detroit.
They're over Detroit for me. Minnesota's
why?
Because they're better than Detroit.
But why? Like, the Niners, we're talking about it just this season, though. Like, what if the Niners, like, Detroit, they're 3-1 right now. They're playing good football. Offense is looking great. The Niners' defense doesn't necessarily look good, and we're still hoping for the offense to kind of tie it together. They haven't been great in the red zone. We're asking them to finish drives more.
I think their offense has looked better than Detroit's.
Yeah, I don't think Detroit's looks great.
No.
I mean, they did last night. Detroit's offense looked spectacular last night.
Flawless last night.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, as a whole that I would put them in that category.
Either way, I think they've looked better than the 49ers through the first 4 weeks.
I don't think so.
The 49ers had the close loss to the Vikings, close loss to the Rams.
Yeah. And I don't think it's an overreaction. Would I say that they are the best team in the NFC? No, I'd give that to Minnesota right now. I'd absolutely give that to Minnesota. I think Tampa Bay deserves to be mentioned, and you know we're all kind of maybe afraid to do it because we want to make sure it's real. But I think Washington deserves some consideration mm-hmm. as well.
I think Washington is real.
I think they are too.
I don't know about best team in the conference real. I'll hold off on that. Mm-hmm. But nah, I think that's a real football.
Well, the way that the question is written out there, or the statement, yep. like the Niners are the best team in the NFC. Period. That's an overreaction. No,
I think it is.
I think the Niners are better than the Lions.
I think so too. Yeah. They can't be better than Minnesota right now. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're talking about is this stage of the season. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, this stage of the season, because Minnesota's beat them at this stage of the season. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an overreaction. But much like the Ravens, we'll revisit this again later. Mm-hmm. I'm certain. And the results might be different. You mentioned the Commanders. Man, how about this? The Commanders will win the NFC East.
That's not an overreaction.
I don't think so either.
That might be a damn fact.
I might write an overreaction. Write it in pen.
Darius Slay on Michael Parsons' podcast talking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting burnt and all that. Say it ain't so. That team's cooked, bro. They're done. Team is done.
C.J. got to chill, man. C.J. got to relax.
Well, the fact that you got your own teammate on the pod or whatever, and I'm not – like, he wasn't going in on him or whatever, but just, like, that doesn't – that shouldn't – that doesn't happen, bro. Like, what happened to rivalry and all that stuff?
Yeah, and then my homeboy said it the other day. No pod and claws might have to be around the corner. What the hell is Micah Parsons doing with Slay on the podcast?
Well, yeah, the Eagles are cooked.
Let's add a no podcast addendum to basketball podcast too. Just in Northern California, just in San Francisco, just no pods allowed. Paul George can do one. Anyone else? But J.J. Redick could do one if he wants to, even though he retired it.
J.J., I don't know.
If you play at the Chase Center, you're not allowed to do a podcast. No matter how successful and black you are in America.
If you play at the Chase Center, you can't do a podcast unless you're Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins,
pods, Steve Kerr.
If your last name is a color, you cannot do a podcast as well.
If you were suspended 3 times in a single 12-month period, you may not do a podcast.
What did Jesse, I don't know, maybe both of you guys saw this. What did J.J. Redick say the other day? Sound like a condescending jackass to Darvin Ham. Was it Media Day where he was like, yeah. Oh, he said so. He was like, yeah, you know, the way that you play now will allow you not to have all these defensive lineups out there, and you'll be able to have a more effective group out there.
I'm sorry.
Because you didn't have these situations before.
Is that Draymond? Who was that?
It was JJ.
Oh, okay.
Can't really do it, JJ. But you know, he's kind of matter of fact. And
he is. He's very condescending.
Subtle shade to Darvin Ham. He's like, yeah, I mean, now you don't have to have a so-called defensive lineup out there to do what you have. I was like, all right.
Bro got a couple podcast downloads, and he's starting to write checks. His coaching ass might not be able to cash. Be careful, JJ. Like, be careful. You got to back all of this up.
Oh, man.
Easy.
JJ,
I did love seeing the stuff with Bronny and LeBron.
That was really cool.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
I dug that.
And then they had the picture of, like, behind the chairs they were talking to. Mm-hmm. One said James Jr., another mm-hmm. said James. That was dope.
Bronny was funny because he kept getting, like, caught up doing interviews, and he would say LeBron James. And then, like, a second later, he'd say dad. So, like, I know those are waters he's trying to navigate, but I thought that was, I thought it was funny how, like, in the same interview, he would, not even in the same interview, in the same train of thought, he'd go from dad to being on the floor with LeBron James.
Wow.
I got a kick out of that.
Quick update. That's the most.
Who's that?
The baseball update. Tigers just beat the Astros in game one of their best of 3 series. So it is for sure going back to Detroit. Well, no, I shouldn't say that because the Tigers can win tomorrow and it'll be over. But they're guaranteed at least to go back to Detroit. The Tigers were up 3-0 the entire game. Astros come out in the bottom of the ninth. first three batters get hits. They get it to 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart of the lineup is coming up. And Alvarez was up with the bases loaded, hits a line shot right at the first baseman. Ball game over. That ball was a rocket off of Alvarez's bat.
What's going on with Kansas City and Baltimore? There's just playoffs all day between baseball. Yeah.
Mets and Brewers about to get started in a little bit.
Yeah, and the W tonight. It's a good day for playoffs before preseason gets underway for the NBA. We mentioned Lonzo Ball being back at practice or being a part of media day, being back at practice today.
I didn't even know this. All three games are going to be in the home location, so they won't be going to Detroit. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a setup. So all three games
are at
the—
I don't think I knew that either.
At the home location. Yeah. My bad.
You keep saying the home location. You mean the higher seat?
Yeah. Wherever they're at today, this is where they'll be.
Because your home location isn't the same as my home location. But you're the higher seed, so we're
higher
staying
seed. Yeah, I didn't know. I thought they did it like the WNBA did it, but yeah. Okay.
All right, a couple of other things we've got to talk about here. We didn't get to talk college football yesterday, man. What an epic game it was between Georgia and Bama. We'll touch on that. Oh, we got to talk about this. This is just funny to me. ESPN is eyeing a replacement for Adrian Wojnarowski, and it's a bit baffling. Kawhi talked about his health yesterday at Clippers Media Day. We could talk about, and Clay said something that made me laugh only because I forgot where he was. Tell you what all of that is when D'Lo and Casey. Plus, we got Jason Jones coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Stay locked in. It's D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You know what else stood out to me last night? Jason Jones said to join us here in just a little bit. Watching Geno Smith. Geno has had a really solid run at this point for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what—
3 years now?
Yeah. When you look at what Geno is doing, and you see what Sam Darnold is doing in Minnesota, I think those are two examples of guys that you just look at and you go, man, maybe it's time, maybe it's the right situation. I mean, it could be a variety of different things, but we're so quick to discard quarterbacks who are drafted high quickly because they don't turn things around immediately. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, Geno has had some different things to deal with, like, you know, I'm at this point, if Sam Darnold continues to play like this, I'm going to say Sam Darnold was perfect entering the league. He was just on two awful franchises that held him back a little bit. But I think they're— I won't call them cautionary tales, but they're interesting tales. Every team that drafts a quarterback, they're all in different positions. Like Washington was in a position— the Washington team right now was in a position where a quarterback could make an entire difference for them. They've got other pieces. They have things in place. Like, we wondered if Chicago had enough in place with Caleb Williams to like immediately be a factor. Carolina has never drafted a player at that position, a quarterback at that position, with everything in place, or even with a lot of things in place. It was the main thing they were trying to get in place and to get their system going. And so it's difficult to say, you've got to be patient, But a lot of it is, one, it's patience, but a lot of it is like fit and franchises and the way that teams are run and how they orchestrate stuff. But looking in Geno and Sam Darnold, you know, over the last couple of days, man, those are two guys that I'm convinced are good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And they were discarded years ago.
And sometimes it's simple as maybe not even just the franchise, but the actual individual quarterback, it may take him a little while. Like Sam Darnold's in, what, his fifth year? More than that.
Yeah.
Probably like six or seven.
I don't think it's that high. Three with, I think it was four. No, I'll look right now. I think if only six. There was a way we could find out.
I think it's six because he was with Carolina 2 years, I feel.
What makes this even more ridiculous is I actually have it up right now. 7 years for Sam Darnold. He had, see, what I forgot is he was actually in Carolina for two. I thought he was in Carolina for one, and then the San Francisco year.
Yeah, and Geno, by the time he got to Seattle, he had been in the league been five, the six, league. 7 years or something like
that.
Yeah,
Geno, I have Geno's numbers up too. Where's Geno at? Yeah, go ahead.
The whole point is, while franchises...
2 years as a backup, too. Didn't even do nothing his first 2 years with Seattle.
As franchises absolutely can play a role and a damning role in these situations, sometimes it's just it's not going to happen at all early on. It's just not. Like, I don't think if the Jets were a great franchise, or the Jets in both the cases, but the Jets were a great franchise. I don't think the Panthers were a great franchise or whatever, that Sam Darnold or Geno Smith would have excelled at that time. I think they would have struggled. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they needed time. They needed time to see the league, to grow as young men, to get more experience at the NFL level. And now they were able to get that, whether they were playing or backup or whatever the case may be. And now they're more prepared and more ready for their opportunity to be a starting guy. And once again, not absolving these franchises, but sometimes that has nothing to do with anything other than time, just time. And you don't, I understand the other aspect. You don't have 6 years to wait on a quarterback in this day and age as a GM. Like, as a GM who's, well, you know, let him be like Sam Darnold here. Give him 6 years. Give him 6 years. And he don't have time for that. They've got to make a decision and make a choice on what direction they want to go relatively early on. And it's kind of how it plays out. I mean, that we may be saying the same things about Zach Wilson, about Mac Jones, you know, about even Trey Lance to a certain degree. And those guys, I don't think they necessarily, well, there's the Jets again. But
wow, it's a shocker how the Jets keep coming up in this conversation.
The other two, I don't know if they necessarily, I know the Niners aren't, and I don't think the Patriots were like a bad organization. Those guys just were not ready to play.
The Patriots, who you talk about, Mac?
Yeah. It's just not ready to play. They're not in a place then and right now to be franchise level quarterbacks. Doesn't mean they won't get there, though. And it may be with another.
Well, Mac might not.
They're both with another team.
Well, Mac is in a place that's not helping him.
Oh, I always forget where Mac is.
He's in Jacksonville. Yeah.
I thought, for whatever reason, I thought he was in Indianapolis. And when Anthony Richardson went down, I was like, oh, Mac. I was like,
They had old reliable
after,
back there.
After three passes, it took me three passes. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not Mac.
Three completed passes? Ooh. Oh. Not Mac Jones, that's Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco in there. Gotta win.
It's an interesting study. The thing with Anthony Richardson is tough, man. I hope he winds up being all right.
Yeah.
He's getting roughed up a little bit his first couple of years here. I read something yesterday trying to catch up on media days around the league. It kind of made me chuckle. It was my bad, but it did make me laugh. Looking on Hoops Hype, Klay Thompson says they can win a championship. Klay. Oh, sweetheart. Oh, he's in Dallas. I forgot he's in Dallas. He's talking about the Mavericks could win a championship. Okay. That's not crazy. I don't agree with Klay, but that's not crazy. I thought he was still in San Francisco. Plum dumb forgot. My man was gone.
And did you see his number that he's wearing?
Yeah, what is it again?
Wearing 31.
Did he give
some? 3 + 1 = 4 rings. All right, man.
Is that what he said?
I didn't hear it come from him. That's what somebody said on the
man. Well, what was his old number?
11. I think Kyrie's 2. I don't know if 11's occupied or retired. in Dallas right now.
31.
Yeah, channeling Jason Terry.
Don't do that.
Well, that's it's
don't late. Ever don't ever do that.
It's too late. He's there.
All right, buddy. Good luck with that. Kawhi Leonard spoke yesterday. Kawhi was interesting. I know that's a hard sentence to believe, but he's definitely. It was interesting him talk about his injury and the procedure he had and the approach that they're taking. I hope my man can stay healthy. He seems like so like aware of the perception on him, though he doesn't really acknowledge it. He seems so just aware of all of his surroundings without ever selling it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to read some of the things he said, see some of the videos as well, because I still believe in Kawhi Leonard, the ball player. I still think Kawhi Leonard's a really, really good player. I still think he's an upper echelon player, but I understand everyone's universal concern about whether he can actually stay on the floor.
Yeah, that's I'm rooting for him. I really am rooting for him. I want.
And James Harden is his new tag team partner. So, and James is feeling himself a little bit. They might. You can see that yesterday. James was feeling himself.
They might be like the New Day right now.
We should all be so lucky.